Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We're in the middle of an amazing series on Isaiah, the gospel prophet. Today, the immeasurable, unfailing love of God. We've got people around us waging war. I think the prophet would want us waging love. That means that love being revealed is our greatest weapon. In fact, that's true in the great controversy between good and evil. God chooses love, which will ultimately triumph. So welcome to Hope Sabbath School, and welcome to our team. Good to see you again. Little band, little flock. With all of the restrictions, there's just five of us here on the team, but we've seen God work in amazing ways. We're glad you're staying with us even through this pandemic. We've got a special gift for you. If you haven't been with us for the series, you may not have heard, we're offering you a digital download of an audiobook called Radical Evidence. I was so impressed as I studied the prophecies in Isaiah. And then I thought, what about all of the prophecies of the Hebrew Scriptures, all being fulfilled in Jesus the Messiah? I'd like to give you a copy of that audiobook. All you have to do is write to our regular email address, sshope@hopetv.org, and in the subject line on your email, just put free offer. We'll send you a link so you can download this audiobook, Radical Evidence, not only from Scripture, but also lives today transformed by the power of an encounter with Jesus. I hope you'll take advantage of that offer. We're always happy to hear from you. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. We get excited. We share it with the whole team because we're excited that your life is blessed. Here's a note from Samson in Malawi. Samson writes, I'd like to share my testimony with you. My life is changed because of Hope Sabbath School.
Amen.
Please continue blessing our lives. Continue this wonderful job for the saving of many souls, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen?
Amen.
Samson, thanks for writing to us from the heart of Africa. We're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. Lorraine writes from South Africa. Lorraine says, I live about an hour south of Johannesburg. The name of my town means reconciliation. And we're on the banks of the Vaal River. We're senior citizens. We're very careful because of the terrible virus. We're basically at home most of the time.
Yeah.
Thank you for Hope Sabbath School. It's perfect for us. We get Sabbath School, and then we stay on Hope Channel and watch a powerful sermon as well. God bless you for giving so many of us a Sabbath blessing so that we still feel part of the family of God. Amen?
Amen.
Maybe you felt locked up, whether it was on Sabbath or sometime during the week, and you're like, I need a blessing. I need some Christian encouragement. Why don't you download the Hope Channel app on your smartphone, or you can go to hopetv.org, and you can watch any time of the day or night and get some spiritual encouragement. Lorraine, we're glad you and your husband are blessed through Hope Sabbath School. Here's a note from a donor in Ohio in the United States of America, actually from a couple. They said, we watched Hope Sabbath School the first time less than a year ago, and we've been watching it every week since.
Amen.
What a blessing you are to us, to our family, and to the whole world. You are spreading God's light into a dark world which desperately needs it.
Amen.
God bless you all as you help spread His message of love and salvation to the world, and a donation of $50 to help Hope Sabbath School.
Amen.
Well, I want to thank a donor couple in Ohio, but I want to thank each one of you for partnering with us. We're a donor-supported ministry. You can just go to hopetv.org/donate. You can donate online, or we always like to receive your real letters when you send a donation, and we'd love to be encouraged by the words that you share. Well, here's a note from Agnes. She was born in Poland, but she's living in the United Kingdom. Agnes writes, I'm of Polish origin, grew up in a Catholic family, but I was blessed to come to know Jesus personally at age 15 by attending a prophecy seminar. Well, this is all about prophecy, this series on Isaiah.
Yes.
I came across Hope Sabbath School about 7 or 8 years ago for the first time. I'd gone back to Poland from Canada for university, and I found myself lacking a church and community. I came across Hope Sabbath School on YouTube, and you became my church and my community. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. It helped me through my university days, brought me back to the Bible, and rekindled my relationship with Jesus.
Yes.
I feel like I got to know you all and love hearing your testimonies. Now, a few years later, I continue enjoying spending Sabbaths with Hope Sabbath School with my husband and our two-month-old baby girl.
Oh.
Tiny little girl. Mm. The Lord is so good. We have been so blessed. We absolutely love the scripture songs, what God is hiding in our hearts. Notice what Agnes says. I can't wait to be able to sing them with my daughter as she grows up.
Amen.
Isn't that a beautiful thought?
Yes.
Hiding God's word in our hearts. One last note. Steve writes from Tennessee. Thank you, Steve, for writing to us. Tennessee in the United States. Hello, Hope Sabbath School team.
Hello.
The Lord is blessing you. The smaller interactive studies and singing the song at home work so beautifully. We've all gotten used to the changes because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Isn't that nice? They're not complaining that seven are missing. Mm-hmm. But what God is doing through our band of five. Mm-hmm. We love each of you. What wonderful interaction. What powerful teaching. Thank you. Thank you. What a blessing. The blessings of Hope Sabbath School are more abundant than ever. Our prayers and support will continue for this great ministry that is so much a blessing to be part of. Jesus is coming back soon. Well, we believe that, Steve. Thanks for writing to us from Tennessee. Thank you for your support. Right now, we need all of your help. We need you to sing our theme song because we're not allowed to sing here in the studio because of the restrictions. But it's a beautiful song taken from Isaiah 55, word for word. Oh, we're going to actually study that passage today. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let's sing together.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you that we can seek you, that you can still be found. There is still time. We can call upon you while you are near.
Yes.
We believe that we're near the end of this world's history. Mm-hmm. But I thank you that you're reaching out, that your immeasurable, unfailing love reaches out to all who will open their hearts to you. Mm-hmm. I pray that miracles would happen today by the power of your name. That as we study together here and with Hope Sabbath School members around the world, that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts and draw us to an ever closer saving relationship with you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
We're starting in Isaiah chapter 55. This is one of my favorite chapters, Jason, because my wife has written several scripture songs to help me hide that chapter in my heart. And I'd like to ask you to begin, if you would, reading Isaiah 55, the first three verses.
I have the New King James Version here. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 3. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David.
What's he talking about here? Is he talking, Samiso, about real food? Actually, this is the word of the Lord, the invitation. Thirsty and hungry? Or is it talking about spiritual realities? What do you think?
It's speaking more about the abundance of life that comes through Jesus.
Okay.
And so there's no limitation to who can receive it. So it's not restricted to those with money, but anyone is really free.
Everyone. Anybody else? Everyone who thirsts. What's that talking about, Lisa?
Thirst means that they want to hear something good, something that will nourish and revive and bring them back to life. I picture a desert, you know, that doesn't have rain, that is so parched. Some people's lives are like a desert, parched. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember Jesus stood up during the Tabernacles feast and he said, if anyone thirsts, you remember what he said?
Let him come.
Come to me and drink. Yeah. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So Jesus is saying, by the way, he's the fulfillment of this prophecy, isn't he?
Yes.
He's talking about spiritual thirst, about spiritual hunger. And I like what you said, Samiso. Anyone, I think, Aisha, you mentioned that in a previous study. Not just anyone, everyone is welcome, right?
Yeah.
Everyone is welcome to come. Now, what does it mean, come and buy? And then it goes on to say, you don't have any money. How do you buy it without money? How do we receive that life-giving refreshment that comes only from God? What do you think, Aisha?
I think he wants us to abide with him. I think he wants us to trust him and to follow him. And it's not a matter of money or about, we give ourselves to him.
So the way that we receive that is not with currency. Mm-hmm. It's with the opening of our heart to him and saying, using the word that you used, Aisha, Lord God, come and abide with me. That's what Jesus taught too, didn't he, about abiding in him. Come and abide with me. So actually, it's a free gift. What part do I have to play? Jason?
You have to be willing to receive it.
Right. Yes.
As long as you're willing, you will have it. So as long as your heart is open,
you can receive the gift. Samiso?
Almost sounds like the saint, just show up as a stud.
Show up with an open heart and say, God, please come. I'm thirsty for you. I'm hungry for you. Yes, Travis.
The word come is repeated, you know, come, yes, come, yes, come. Yes. So basically what God is saying, make yourself available and I will take care of you.
And the revelation with come and the Spirit says come. It's like, what word don't you understand? Come. Right?
Yes.
Come. Now, what are some other ways that people try to satisfy that spiritual longing? It is a spiritual longing. Spiritual thirst, spiritual hunger. What are some other ways that people try to kind of satisfy that longing. Travis?
I see it, especially in my life growing up, I saw it a lot in relationships. Mm-hmm. People tried to do that in relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's one failed relationship after another because the void that's in their life mm-hmm. is only something that God can fill. Mm-hmm.
So you find this, like, fascinating person, but after a little bit of time, you realize that person can't fill that void. Mm-hmm. That was not their assignment, no. right?
Yeah.
All right, somebody else, Lisa.
Material possessions.
Mm-hmm. Material possessions. So I keep accumulating more and more things, hoping that they will meet that deep longing of my heart. Mm-hmm. How do we know that doesn't work?
Because they keep buying more.
We keep buying more. Yes. That's right. And then we have to have storage units where we can put our things. Yeah. Because we can't fit them in our house. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's why people who have lots of things jump off bridges.
Yeah. Mm.
Because that didn't satisfy them. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Relationships, material things. What else do people use to try to satisfy that longing? Jason?
I think if it says here thirst and hunger, and people are trying to satisfy their spiritual thirst and spiritual hunger with physical thirst and physical hunger, and there are different substances people can use that they can drink or they can eat, mm-hmm. and they're taking, you know, those substances in place mm-hmm. of the spiritual that they need. They're trying to use the physical to get to the spiritual mm-hmm. instead of going to the spiritual, which is Jesus himself.
Mm-hmm. So we self-medicate with the food or...
drugs.
Alcohol, drugs, mm-hmm. entertainment,
yeah. Yeah.
gambling,
mm-hmm. yeah.
YouTube. Right?
Yeah.
Anything earthly.
Anything earthly, you know, that just kind of desperately tries, and if it doesn't work, maybe more will work, or more, or more, or more.
Yeah.
We get addicted to all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord is saying, no, come
to me.
And the only payment is open... and receptive spirit,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a promise in the Great Sermon on the Mount. Travis, could you read Matthew chapter 5? You know, one of the things I appreciate about Jesus, even though he's so profound, he's also very clear. He's very simple, you know? I think even the children understood when he said, a wise person built his house on a rock, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. which is really talking about our lives, but he was so simple. What does Jesus say in Matthew 5, verse 6, in the Sermon on the Mount?
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Mm-hmm. How can they be sure they'll be filled? How can they be sure? It says they will be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How can they be sure they'll be filled?
Because it's the word of God.
All right. Yeah. And he keeps his promises. I am the Lord, and I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
God is not a person that he should lie, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So he's promised. And the answer is because he's just waiting. It's whether we'll come.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for mm-hmm. they shall be filled. Yes, Lisa.
I think it's interesting here because it's not being hungry or being thirsty that's bad. It's what we're hungering and thirsting for.
Sure,
yes. Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
they're thirsting for good things, righteousness, mm-hmm. holiness, godliness, and that's where the blessing is.
Mm-hmm. So when he says there in Isaiah 55, hear and your soul shall live,
mm-hmm. yeah.
What's he telling us? What does he want us to hear?
Come.
Invitation.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Come. Mm-hmm. He wants to bless us more than we could imagine. Mm-hmm. Now, we know that we cannot buy his blessings.
Mm-hmm.
Can you think of a text in the scripture besides what we are reading here, which make it very clear that we cannot buy the love of God? We cannot buy the salvation of God. Is there a text that comes to your mind, Lisa?
Not a text, but a story.
Okay.
I think of Naaman in the Old Testament.
Yes.
And he had leprosy. And the Jewish girl who was living with him said, there's a prophet in Israel. And when he went over to see the prophet, he came with a whole carriage full of expensive clothes and gold and silver. But the prophet said no. He refused that because he was trying to buy that healing. He was trying to buy and purchase that miracle. But it was priceless.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He did end up giving a gift. You know what the gift was? It was his heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He said, I'm going to worship the God of heaven when I go home. Mm-hmm. Aisha? Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about the woman from Samaria. Made me think of that story because she was from Samaria and they weren't, you know, Jesus wasn't supposed, I mean, the culture, they weren't supposed to interact with each other, but he told her about the living water and that if you had the living water, you would never thirst again.
That's really referring back to this prophecy, isn't it? Mm-hmm. He is the living water, and that's a beautiful example. Another, a Bible text, Samiso?
So I think about Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9.
Would you read that for us? That's a powerful verse, just to remind people, because now I want to do a little history of the Christian church, because there have been people who've thought and promoted that salvation could be sold, right? But what did Paul say in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9?
Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, reading from the New King James Version. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast."
Well, let's just say, Samiso, I know you have a wonderful, beautiful wife. You were married recently. If she came and said, "Simi," because she calls you an abbreviated name, right? "Simi, here's a gift for you." And you said to her, "How much do I owe you?" How would she respond to that, do you think?
She'd be probably offended.
She'd be disappointed, wouldn't she? Because a gift is...
A gift.
It's a gift, right? That means you don't have to pay for it.
Yes.
Salvation is a gift. So what do we have to do?
Accept.
That's right. We accept the gift. So salvation is a gift. Our role is to... accept it, and to receive that gift. Now, someone help me with church history. Can you think of times, Jason, you're nodding, during the history of the Christian church when people said, no, salvation's for sale. You can pay. Either you can pay to be saved or you could pay maybe for a loved one to be saved. Share with me what you know about the history of the Christian church.
Sure. So this has happened at several different points in the history of the Christian church. And one of the most famous I think of was during the time of Martin Luther in Germany. The Pope wanted to rebuild his sort of palace, if you will, there in Rome. And he needed a lot of money. And so he worked with this man who was not a very Christian in actions guy, who would go out and would sell these papers called indulgences, and you could buy these papers and then you could either have your soul, yourself, be freed from hell or a
family
member.
Right?
Supposedly. This was their idea that he was selling, and he made it a whole big sales campaign. He would go into the towns and he would say, "You can buy salvation. If you just give enough money for yourself or for a loved one, you can be saved. Only give enough money and that's how you can be saved."
So, any other examples? Even today, people pay maybe for a mass to be said for a dead loved one that might help get them in the right direction or, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why do people accept that distortion when the Bible says to me, so it's a gift?
So it's really counterintuitive for most of us because everything earthly, there's usually an exchange. You don't do anything for nothing. There's an expression that says there's no free lunch. That means everything typically comes with some strings attached, or there's something you have to do to reciprocate receipt of whatever you're getting.
So you think it's hard for us to just accept, so they fall for maybe I should buy it. Is it possible that they accept the lie because they don't know the truth? That they don't know what the Bible says. They don't even know what Jesus says. Travis and then Aisha.
So I think we live in a society, and we often use the term, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. But in the case of salvation, it's not. It really is true. And it sounds good because it is good. And that's really hard, I think, in the society we live, to understand that. I know growing up, the way I did early in a church. I grew up kind of with a legalistic view. I had to do things to be saved. And to be able to bend or get rid of that idea, it's not just easy to do. You got to keep going back to the Word, standing on the promises of God, and realize that my salvation is a gift from God. It's not easy. The Satan is there trying to constantly turn you.
Mm-hmm. You want to add to that, Aisha?
Well, I agree with Travis, but yeah, to me it shows their thirst too, because they kept doing that. They didn't know, but they kept doing it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
People
sure.
were thirsty.
I know. I happen to believe that many of them believe the lie just because no one had told them the truth.
Yeah.
And that's why we have Hope Sabbath School. We are one part of God's answer for the gospel to go to the whole world. Yeah. We're not the only part. That would be a delusion of grandeur, right? Mm-hmm. But we can be a part that someone watching today, maybe you're watching today, and you're saying, really, Derek, you mean all I have to do is, when the Lord says come, is come? That I just have to accept the gift that he offers to forgive my sins, to pay the penalty of my sin, which is death, and offer me a gift of eternal life? And the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. It is that beautiful, and it is that simple. But I think a lot of people don't know. Mm. Mm. And that's why we have to share with them the truth as revealed in the Word of God. Well, we're moving on. This is just one chapter in this amazing book. Lisa, could you read to us in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9?
I'm reading from the New King James Version. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Mm. What's the point, Jason?
That God, he loves us, but he's not the same as us. He does things differently than we do, which I say that's good news.
So how should we respond to that truth that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts and his ways of doing things are not the way that we would do things? How should we respond to that? Mm-hmm. Yes, Travis?
I think in the context what he's saying is the above verses is seek the Lord while he may be found. I'll have mercy on you. I think as a human, you'd be inclined to not believe that. And he's like, no, I'm not speaking in humanly terms. I will forgive you. Mm. And if you seek me, if you come to me, I will be found. My thoughts aren't like a human's thoughts. My ways aren't like a human's ways. I stand true to my word, and I will come through for you.
Now, there is a place in the Proverbs that says there's a way that seems right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. To a man.
To a person. Mm-hmm. But the end is the way of death. I used to think, they're a bad person going the wrong way. But I think they actually think it's an okay way to go. Yeah. But they're wrong. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not the right way to go. Mm-hmm. So the Lord in his love is saying, follow my way.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because you may go on a way that you think is okay. Mm-hmm. But it will lead you to death. Lisa? Yeah.
And so many of us have the wrong thoughts. Our thinking is not correct. Mm-hmm. And we try to create theology to fit our thinking, when really we should be saying, God, I don't know how you're looking at this situation. I don't understand it. Please show me. And God is faithful to actually teach us how he sees things and how he understands things.
We need our brains kind of reformatted, right? Mm-hmm. From a faulty way of looking at reality. So, Miso, I want to ask you a question and then give others a chance to share. If God's like, Samisa, I've got a better plan than you have. My way for you is better than maybe what you thought was your way. Can you think of a time in your life when God showed you a plan that was better than your plan?
Yeah, great question.
I mean, I got to say, for those of you that don't, Samisa is a very focused person. He's young and he's accomplished a great deal. So I'm sure you've had plans.
Yeah.
But was there a time God said, I've got a plan for you that's better than your plan?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and usually when that happens, you realize it much, much later.
Not immediately.
Mm-hmm. So when I was trying to get into graduate school, I was admitted into two schools, and the school I really, really wanted to did not offer me a scholarship. And the one which did offer me a scholarship was like my plan B. But I'm just so grateful that I was offered a free ride scholarship, and I was still able to achieve everything I wanted to had I gone to the other school. So then I was kind of disappointed, but later on as this came through, I just looked at God and said, thank you that it's not my way, but your ways are much better than my way.
So plan B was actually plan A for God.
Yes.
Because you were able to get out with out a massive amount of debt.
Yes.
Did God work out anything else? Was there anything else about that location within the same city?
Not in the same city.
So was there anything about that location where you ended up that as you look back, and I don't know the answer to the question, that you say, God had other blessings in store for me besides a scholarship to go to the school?
I got involved in a very, very small church, and I believe that there was a purpose for me being there. And I thank the Lord for planting me there for that time.
So God gave you a spiritual home?
Yes.
Sounds like it was a small one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But it was a meaningful place for you during your graduate studies.
Yeah. Mm.
Somebody else, can you think of an example where God's way was better than your way? God says, I've got a better plan for you. Travis?
Well, I'm here doing Hope Sabbath School. So, and that is because, you know, it was a few years ago, God just spoke to me and said, I got different plans for you, and I had to make a decision. It's follow God or follow my ways.
And so let me ask you a question. Hope Sabbath School started now about 12 years ago. What were you doing 12 years ago? You weren't part of the original team.
I can't say it on
I shouldn't say it on television.
You weren't walking with Jesus?
No. No, not at all.
So what was your plan back then, would you say?
Well, back then was to become successful and wealthy and acquire things. But as we discovered as we're studying, I would buy things, and within 2 or 3 days, I would just disregard them because it was useless. I didn't find my joy in that.
It didn't satisfy you.
Didn't satisfy me at all. I bought many new things that just went to waste. It was terrible. So, but God called me, and I made a decision. I'm not going to pursue that anymore, and I sold my business, and I'm thankful to be here sharing the immeasurable and
unfailing
love.
Now you're receiving a vast income on Hope Sabbath School.
Yeah.
As a volunteer.
I am. A spiritual blessing.
It pays its own way to get here. So what is the, when we come, as she says, we just come. What are the blessings we receive when we just come and to say, Lord, I'm here. You said you'll satisfy my thirst, my hunger. What are the blessings we receive?
So many. It brings peace. It just comforts you. It gives you assurance for what's going to happen, I think.
Peace in the midst of the challenges of life?
Mm. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That awareness that you are loved by God and precious to Him, and that He's with you even to the end of the age. Mm-hmm. His ways are not our ways. Anyone else have a God's plan was better than my plan? Anybody? I could raise my hand. I was preparing to work in the European Union in the field of economics, and God said, how about first of all I show you how bankrupt you are?
Mm.
Brought me to my knees one Friday night, and I prayed a simple prayer. God, if you've got a plan for my life, I was working for a British bank. Show me what it is. The next day, an envelope arrived in the mail with a pile of 20-pound notes. And that was the exact amount for me to leave and go to Newbold College, a Christian college in England, and study to become a pastor. That was a long time ago, but God's plan was better than my plan. And I think knowing that His ways are higher than our ways, well, that's a vital lesson to learn, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Isaiah 58, we're going on talking about fasting. That's something we don't talk about very much now, but let's read in Isaiah chapter 58. Jason, could you read the first 5 verses for us?
Yes, and I have the New King James Version here. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 1 through 5. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord?
What was the problem with the fasting that they were practicing during the time of Isaiah the prophet?
They're doing it for show.
They were doing it for show. It was it was religious ceremony. But at the same time, they're not repenting of their sins.
Yeah.
Isn't there a text that talks about a form of godliness?
But denying.
2 Timothy chapter 3.
But denying.
Verse denying 5, I think.
Power.
But denying the power thereof. There was a problem in the time of Jesus how people would fast. Do you remember how that was? Look in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Matthew 6, verses 16 through 18. Aisha, do you have that? It's the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus talks about prayer. Well, it talks first about giving to the needy.
Yeah.
And then he talks about prayer. And then he talks about fasting. And the fault he finds with the way they're practicing all three is the same. And he calls them to have a different attitude. Let's look and see in Matthew 6, 16 through 18.
I will be reading from the New International Version. Matthew 6, verse 16 to 18. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. For they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you.
So, Jason, how did these religious people in the time of Jesus, how did they fast? What was the problem?
Their external appearance, as it says here, was sad and disfigured. It's almost like they went out of their way to make themselves look like they were suffering.
Ah, so they got the T-shirt that said, I'm fasting. What was their goal?
To be noticed.
To be noticed.
Yeah.
Now, help me with this, Lisa. Mm-hmm. It says, Jesus says, they have their reward already.
Mm-hmm.
What reward would a person receive for fasting in that way? What's the reward? It's not a heavenly reward, is it?
They would be recognized and thought to be religious.
They get the attention they're looking for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they're not going to get a heavenly reward. No. What's the heavenly reward when we fast? Do you know? What's the purpose of fasting? Tamiso?
I think from Isaiah, it's really to give, right? It's not so much that God wants us to afflict ourselves for him to hear us. But when we read on in Isaiah 58, and I think we will.
Yeah, we're going to read it.
It's really saying that if you're depriving yourself of something, it's for you, use that fast to give it to someone else, to give someone else in need.
And I think that fasting is also a clearing of the mind to be more attentive to God so that I can know what he wants me to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to that passage you were referring to in Isaiah chapter 58. And let's see what the what God's plan is in terms of that fast, verses 6 and 7.
Verse 6 and 7, reading from the New King James Version. Is it not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh.
Mm. Now, that doesn't sound like fasting at all. That sounds like acts of mercy, mm-hmm. kindness. Mm-hmm. What's the relationship between the word fast and this behavior? Yes, Travis.
It's going without. Yeah. Going out without. So in the context is there, you're going without so that somebody else can be blessed.
Okay.
So it's self-sacrificing.
Okay. I go without my lunch and I give my lunch to someone who's hungry, yes. maybe?
Yep.
Lisa?
Yeah, I wouldn't get so caught up in like the specific activities to do, because I think the principle here is you're submitting your will for the will of God. So maybe God may want to use you that particular day to accomplish something in someone else's life, mm-hmm. whatever it may be, maybe to help your neighbor with groceries or something. But it's that submission, just putting aside your own agenda, mm-hmm. your own requests, your own issues, and say, Lord, today I just give you my body. I give you my mind. I give you my plans. Please direct me. And that's what happens.
Those words that Samisa read about helping the oppressed, sharing bread with the hungry, care for the poor and the naked. Does that remind you of any teaching yeah. of Jesus,
yeah.
Jason?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
What's that story where Jesus talks about this same behavior?
So in Matthew 25, Jesus talks about the two different groups of people, and he literally says that he went to one and he said, when I was naked, you didn't clothe me. When I was hungry, you didn't give me food. And then there's the other group where they did all these things. And it's not that they did these things necessarily as a reward to get the t-shirt, but they did these things because they had that connection with God. They had that love. So they had the spiritual principle of what fasting means, which is to give to someone else to help your fellow brother in need. Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, as much as you've done it to the least of these, mm-hmm. you've done it for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that, back to the beginning, Aishu, where you said the Lord says, come, right? Mm-hmm. I want to bless you, or here's a gift, and you say, thank you, no, how much does it cost? Mm-hmm. That when I enter into that loving relationship with God, mm-hmm. the topic is the immeasurable, unfailing mm-hmm. love of God,
yes.
that it will affect the way I relate to other people,
yes.
Yes.
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if I take some time, which is what fasting mm-hmm. is, mm-hmm. to just kind of slow down thinking about my own physical mm-hmm. needs and say, Lord, is there something special you want me to do
yeah.
today?
Yeah, absolutely. And we've been talking about being full, you know, seeking righteousness and hungering and thirsting. But maybe God wants you to fill someone else's life. Maybe mm-hmm. it's not about you. Mm-hmm. And maybe the purpose of fasting is to recognize that our lives are not our own to seek after things that we want. Maybe the purpose of fasting is so that we can be touched with the afflictions of others, mm-hmm. that we can thirst the thirst of others, that we mm-hmm. can hunger the hunger of others, and in so we can do the work of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And all the while knowing we're not trying to buy his love or yeah. earn salvation,
yeah.
but it's because we have a living connection with our Savior, mm-hmm. right, mm-hmm. Samisa?
And I agree with what Lisa said. Really, the Bible is clear on this. It's saying there's no benefit for God seeing you afflict yourself. Mm. That's not what he wants to see. You're afflicting yourself while oppressing others mm. or watching other people being oppressed.
Right.
This form of fasting is something that you have come up with. He says, I did not require you to fast like this.
Right.
What I required you to do was to feed the hungry, mm-hmm. to give to others. And so it's really deprive myself so that others can benefit.
Mm-hmm. I thought of the text, to do justly, love mercy, mm-hmm. and walk humbly with your God.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. Beautiful, beautiful. Let's go back to chapter 58 of Isaiah and read on verses 8 through 12. Travis, if you could read that for us. And the question I want to ask is, what happens when we listen attentively to the Lord and align our wills with the will of God?
Yeah. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, Here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking of wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn, in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build up the old wasted places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in.
Can you summarize all of those words, Lisa, in one sentence? What happens when, first of all, we come? Right? Come, thirsty, hungry, we come. And we allow God to fill us, we rest and abide in him. And then we say, Lord, I want to be attentive to you. What do you want me to do? And he says, I want you to do this, this, and this. Not to make me love you, but because we already have that loving. What's in a sentence, what's going to happen when we align our lives with the will of God?
I was thinking of a song, actually, and the lyric says, give and it shall be given unto you. Whatever it is we extend to someone, that blessing has a way of coming back. And what really stood out to me, I know this is more than a sentence, but the healing part, I'm just wondering, maybe some people are suffering, and maybe not physically, but emotionally. The healing won't come unless you go out and serve others. And so I believe that there's a part of our lives that only becomes full when we're actively helping other people.
Didn't Jesus himself say, give and it will be
given
back to you? Pressed down,
shaken together,
running over, right? And another place, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So you're saying that in a sentence, when we align ourselves with the will of God and give with the same self-sacrificing love that he has shown to us, it will be given back to us. Anybody else? One sentence. What happens when we align our will with the will of God? Jason?
Everyone and everything around us is blessed.
I think that's it, isn't it? Yeah. It's not just that you're blessed, even. It's like everything you touch is blessed. There's just blessings. It's almost like you open up this valve, you know, or this... I was going to say like a sluice gate on a dam, you know, and the blessings flow because you've aligned your life with the will of God in relationship with him. Sumiso?
That's absolutely right. And I think really both the people in the book of Isaiah and the people in the book of Matthew who Christ was speaking about was they fasted with their long faces. Main issue there was they mischaracterized God. And so they were essentially saying for him to answer our prayer, we need to afflict ourselves. They say, no, that's not the God I am. I want you to show the same love that I've shown you to other people. And I think that's how things line up. That's where healing and restoration takes place because you're aligned with him and you're showing that love to other people.
Now, Jesus does say... in the Sermon on the Mount, when you fast.
Yes.
He doesn't say, don't fast, fasting is bad. He says, when you fast, don't fast like that.
Right.
Just to bring attention. What is the true purpose for the Christian? Should we fast?
Yes.
Should fasting be part? Yeah. Should we fast? Do you think we'll fast in the new heavens and the new earth?
No.
No, because fasting is really a kind of a sad reflection on the fact that we're not yet home. But what is the purpose then for the Christian in this busy world in which we live of taking time to fast? And what is connected with fasting and
praying?
That's right, fasting and praying. What's the purpose, Lisa?
Power to do God's will.
So doesn't it say somewhere, be still and know that I am God? So I pause even from my eating, or some have said you could fast from YouTube. You could fast from your smartphone, right? Not just food. you could fast. Maybe some of us need to fast from work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe some need to fast from play. Mm-hmm. But it's that slowing down to really be attentive to God. Sumiso?
Think about fasting to break down strongholds, fasting and praying. Mm-hmm. Yes. I remember when Jesus, when Jesus' disciples were trying to cast out a demon. And
A
young boy. Mm-hmm. And he said he came back and he cast out the demon. And they asked him, how come we're not able to cast out that demon? And he said, some of these are only cast out by fasting and prayer. Mm-hmm. So that's a purpose, to cast down strongholds in our lives.
Maybe what fasting and just slowing down everything else reminds us that we're not that strong.
Yes.
We've got to come. We've got to receive the gift.
I'll rephrase that. It's to give God the permission to cast down the strongholds.
Giving God permission to cast down the strongholds. It's interesting that, having talked about this distortion regarding fasting, that we come to the end of this chapter with verses 13 and 14, which talks about the Sabbath. And Lisa, could you read the last two verses of Isaiah 58? My, we've been on a journey, haven't we? Seeing the love of God. We want to ask how God desires his immeasurable, unfailing love revealed in the Sabbath experience.
Okay. From the New King James Version, "If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken."
Did you notice the word repeated twice? It was the word delight. If you
delight,
call the Sabbath a delight, you delight yourself in the Lord. Now, if you have the false understanding of Sabbath, just like a false understanding of fasting, you don't delight in the Lord.
No.
What's the false understanding of Sabbath?
It's like bondage. You can't do this. You can't do that.
But I've got this legal obligation, and if not, God's going to be mad at me, and that. That's not a biblical understanding. What's the biblical understanding of Sabbath?
It's a delight. It's a happy day.
It's a blessed day. And if I realize, oh, God, thank you that I can rest without feeling guilty. I have this high demand job. I can rest from sundown on Friday night to sundown on Saturday night. And I can just rest. I can come. I can, I can receive the gift and rest in you and not feel guilty. Then I will delight myself in the Lord. That will do something special for my relationship. Travis?
I was just thinking, Derek, and before the program, you said God didn't give us the Sabbath so that we could keep it. But I was thinking God gave us the Sabbath so he could keep us, so he could keep us safe, so he could keep us in connection, so that he could keep us in harmony, so that he could keep us happy. And the Sabbath was a gift. He says, I've given you my Sabbath that you might know that I'm the Lord who sanctifies you. It's a gift and a blessing.
Many people who watch Hope Sabbath School, and we've got, you know, Hope Sabbath School members in over 200 countries, they see the word Sabbath and they go, oh, Sabbath, Hope Sabbath School. And maybe they've read starting in the Bible and it says, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. But there's been distortion about the Sabbath, right? The distortion is that somehow, what? What's the distortion? Somehow
it's been changed.
No. I mean the distortion about how we keep it. That we keep it
to be, for salvation.
Yeah. And that God doesn't love us if we don't do it right. And that's such a terrible distortion. What's the truth about the Sabbath? What did Jesus say? Do you remember? The Sabbath was made
for man.
For people, right?
It's a gift.
It's a gift. That's right. It's the same word. He says to us on the Sabbath,
Come.
Right?
Come.
Find rest for your souls. Find rest for your souls. When did you, now, obviously, some of us may not have grown up knowing anything about Sabbath, but some of us did. When did you come to realize the Sabbath was like just a really precious gift, and it was an invitation of God to just come and rest in Him. So, Misa, when did that happen for you?
When I started working. Then you really appreciate, because it says, 6 days shalt thou labor. As you labor, then you really appreciate that day of rest and just focusing on His unchanging grace, saying that, look, it's not by your works that you're saved. I'm giving you rest. Mm-hmm. It's actually interesting that when Adam was created, he went straight into a rest. He didn't have to do anything. He had not labored, but he's given rest. So the same thing, we don't have to do anything before Christ. He's just saying, come.
Come.
Come as you are.
Come. Mm-hmm. And the Sabbath is it's kind of a sanctuary in time, isn't it? Yeah. It's kind of a sacred space where the Lord says, you know, you've been working for 6 days. Come and rest, not just physically, but rest for your souls.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anybody else? When did you come to realize that the Sabbath was a precious blessing and a time to just rejoice in the immeasurable, unfailing love of God? Aisha, did you find a time in your life?
I think especially in the past few months as I started school and I had to make a schedule with what day I had to do what, and you know, Sabbath is blank. And it's such a blessing because on that day I know I get to rest and I get to learn more about God and get closer to Him, and
So Aisha's an excellent student, and someone might say to her, but Aisha, you could do even better if you studied 7 days a week. Lisa, you've got a PhD, so you studied a lot too. What would you say to Aisha if someone said, study more and you'll do even better?
No, God will honor you. He always honors you. Whatever class or course you're taking, God knows the answer, and the answer isn't in textbooks and in labs. It comes from God.
So whatever you're dealing with, come. Mm-hmm. Come to Him. He's waiting with open arms. Receive the gift of salvation, but the gift also of His immeasurable, unfailing love in so many areas of your life. Do you need that today? You know, I believe we need it every day. Let's pray our hearts would be open to receive Him. Father in heaven, thank You for reminding us in this study. He says, ho, if you're thirsty, if you're hungry, come. Mm-hmm. And I thank You that You are more willing to bless us than we are even willing to come. May we come and find our rest and peace in You even today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. Don't forget to write to us, get that free gift, and keep on studying the Word of God, learning how much God loves you, the good plan He has for your life. And then go out and be a blessing to those around you.